So, Lee, Kamala Harris is for the wall now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Taking a page from John Kerry's former campaign.
No, this is kind of brilliant. She sends unnamed campaign aides out there. We don't even know who said it.
Yeah.
To tell the media on what's called background. That means the reporter can't use your name or quote you directly.
But we'll advance the idea for you.
Yes. That Kamala Harris actually supports the wall now. Is it true? Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. And so they kind of do it on background, sort of like a rumor that she's changed positions. And then the media, when J.D. Vance comes on or a Republican surrogate, corrects that.
Right.
And says, no, no, Kamala has all the same positions as Trump now. You're wrong.
Yeah.
Well, we don't actually know that.
Right.
Nobody, we don't even know, we don't even have the names of the people who've been telling the media this. So they're all in on it together now. Yeah, they're all playing the
game.
Well,
they always have been. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's obvious.
And now the fact checkers are able to go out there. And when you say to your neighbor, no, Kamala's never supported the wall. And they say, oh, and they go to the fact check, the Snopes or wherever. Oh, no, Kamala loves walls. Why? Because some unnamed person on her staff floated the rumor to somebody in the newsroom at CNN. Oh, well, where's the video of her saying she supports the wall? There isn't any. But I wanted folks to know what happened to the wall and what the details are here with her. You're only going to get what remains in the budget. There's about enough money left to build 14 miles of wall. There's 700 miles of border. So what she's actually saying is that, well, the people who are spreading rumors about what she's actually saying, nobody actually knows what she's saying because she hasn't given an interview in 40 days. She's hiding. But what she's actually saying is, well, we'll appropriate that last 14 miles. But the 20,000 panels that were sitting there waiting to be installed, because it was 100 miles worth of Trump wall. Where are they? Well, the Biden administration immediately suspended the building of the wall when they took office. They left them there to rot. They paid $130,000 a day in fines to contractors so they would not install them. So these people just stopped border construction, border wall construction, as soon as Biden was sworn in. So she becomes the border czar, and the panels are sitting there rotting in the desert because when you store them on the side like that, they're not meant to be stored like that, it destroys them. So Congress, Democrats needed some cover for this. This was embarrassing. So Congress passed the Finish It Act. And Kamala and Joe began to panic. By then, she was the border czar. And they had to figure out how to get rid of the wall before that law took effect, right? And then, but then Democrats could vote for it and say they built the wall. So what did they do? Well, they quietly auctioned off most of the 20,000 panels for pennies on the dollar. A lot of it went for scrap metal to get it out of there so that the wall couldn't be built in compliance with the law. And what the staff is pointing to, what her campaign staff is pointing to, is, oh, there's a bill in the Senate, and it says that they will erect the rest of the wall. Okay, well, people are forgetting this. You can pass all the bills you want, but you can't force the chief executive to actually build the wall. So they're playing a game. Kamala supports this bill that's in the Senate that says they would build the wall. Well, does she actually have to do it, though, if it passes? No. Will she? Heck no. She didn't when she was border czar. Instead, the Biden administration sold off the panels. Here's a Fox News segment from yesterday on this.
Fly straight east out of Nogales, Arizona, and you'll pass miles of rolling border wall built during the President George W. Bush era. Then it reveals a construction zone frozen in time. Steel border wall bollards are left in stacks, and construction equipment sits on staging grounds. Just weeks before President Biden was inaugurated, the Trump administration pushed ahead to build a four-mile stretch of new border wall into the Patagonia Mountains.
This is the end of the road, about 15 miles east of Nogales, Arizona. This is as far as the border wall construction got.
Again, they had the panels for 100 miles of it. She oversaw it as board czar, and it not only didn't get built, they paid not to build it. Here's Griff Jenkins on that on Fox News.
In the distance, the Trump wall, and as you can see here next to it, there are leftover panels that were to be used for the completion of the Trump wall, whose construction was halted under the Biden administration. Now, as the state of Texas builds its own wall, they're unable to use these leftover federal panels because they won't sell them to the state of Texas. The federal government would rather let them just sit here and rot.
But now all of a sudden, though, she is going to give you that 14 miles of border wall, maybe if she gets elected, the rumor is, from her staff. Unbelievable. By the way, she's finally going to do an interview with Dana Bash.
Well, wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll be hard hitting.
You know what? Did you see what Megyn Kelly said? She's going to do, she insists on a co-interview. It's going to be her and Tim Walz.
Yeah.
Because she can't do it alone, right?
Well,
have you ever heard of somebody bringing their vice president along for their first major interview?
That does seem a bit odd.
It's odd. And you know what that's for? If there's something she can't, she doesn't want to be on the record on, or she can't answer, he can jump in and take the hit.
Or won't answer. That's
or won't answer is more
likely.
Like it.
Yeah.
Do you see Megyn Kelly called Walz her emotional support governor?
That's good. I wish Megyn Kelly was this good when she was on Fox News. She's, after leaving there, she got a whole lot better.
Yeah, she did. Here's the thing. Do you remember how the media demonized Sarah Palin as just really stupid?
Yes, absolutely.
She was so dumb that it was funny.
Yeah, that was a constant joke. It was all over Saturday Night Live. Back when Saturday Night Live actually had a bit of political humor.
Now, this woman can't do a solo interview, has to have a man with her. Can you imagine if that was a Republican candidate?
Oh, yeah. That point would be brought out constantly. You know, if a female GOP presidential candidate at the top of the ticket was doing their first interview over a month after being, you know, immaculated, and then wanted to bring on a male vice presidential candidate along for the ride in the interview, that would be the central focus of the criticism for that event. There's no question about that. They would say that the Republican patriarchy continues. See, they won't let the female candidate go out there without a man behind her. That's what would be being said by the New York Times and CNN.
Instead, the media is encouraging her not to talk to them. That's how bad this is. We played clip after clip after clip. No, it's good. We don't want to talk to her. This is working for her. She should just stop talking.
I like what I think the little political cartoon that they have on the Fox News webpage. They were making the point that, RFK Jr. says nobody will interview me. And then Kamala Harris saying, I'm not going to do any interviews.
Yeah, and that was RFK's point. He's been blockaded.
Yeah, he was censored.
He was censored.
He was absolutely censored. There was an effort by the Democrat Party and mainstream media to censor RFK Jr. That's what went on. He was deplatformed.
If you get a chance and you haven't listened to RFK's full speech, you know what? If you listen the first 10 to 15 minutes, it'll blow your mind. This is a guy who tried to do interviews on all the cable channels. They formed a blockade, wouldn't let him do it. He said, okay, I guess I'll reach people from the internet. Well, he was able to discover through his lawsuit that within 37 hours of Joe Biden taking office, he issued an order and the CIA, Department of Homeland Security, CISA, and FBI went through the back door of these social media channels, took all his social media and silenced him.
You know,
so you're not allowed to talk if you're us.
Yeah.
And she chooses not to talk.
This is what really bothers me about this country, is that if Democrats in this country were as composed and as intelligent and informed and about issues and honest about issues as RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard are, we could actually get something done. There would be an era of bipartisanship, I believe. Not that I'm overly concerned about that, because I want conservative policies, you know, enacted in this country. I think that's what would save this country. That's what would solve many of the problems, is the fact that we, even as Republicans, are not conservative enough. But at any rate, if there were more Democrats that were, and Harold Ford that's on the Five with Fox News? There are certain Democrats, their composure and their willingness to criticize their own party and accept criticism and also, you know, make intelligent points about their policies is just devoid of anybody in Democrat leadership in this country. When you listen to the likes of, you know, when Biden actually used to be able to be understood and actually made some coherent sense about policy, and what Kamala Harris is doing now, and Walz, and, you know, Pelosi and Schumer, these people are just so far out in left field, the arguments make no sense, and there's absolutely no intelligent response to what they come up with.
The question is, Lee, do you think the American people will fall for this?
For what Harris is doing now?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think that they're making a huge mistake here. If, and this is a huge if she is really changing position on the border wall, they're making a huge mistake, because that's an issue that American Republicans, Democrats, Independents all understand, all see the effects of. And quite honestly, the polling is, as you pointed out here last hour, is against Democrat policy. We see what's going on here. The American public sees, we the people see the reality of what's going on. Not what you say is going on, or what you say you're going to do, or say what you have supported in the past. We see what's going on. And we're pretty much in agreement, as you pointed out last hour.
That's what's so remarkable here, is to watch Kamala Harris adopt position after position of position of Trump's, which for years our own GOP leadership told us was a bad idea, was xenophobic, we shouldn't adopt any of these positions, Trump's embarrassing. I mean, I remember when, instead of trying to beat Democrats, the Bush cabal in the primary in 2016 spent $80 million trying to defeat Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Not Jeb Bush. These were Republican donors. He was so embarrassing. Nobody would want to be seen having these policies. And look, she's adopting every one of them to win. Everyone, I can't wait for, like, give her another week. What is she going to be for?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Dare we say that she may come out and be anti-abortion? No, that's, I don't even think that is a bridge way too far. That's a Rubicon that will never be crossed by Kamala Harris. Hell would certainly have frozen over by that time.
I know. But I don't think her walking around in a MAGA hat and claiming she came up with the slogan is off the table at this point.
Well, what they'll do is that they'll change it slightly. They'll say, make America greater again.
Yes. Or someone said online, make America great, G-R-A-T-E, again.
Yes, well, that's already happening.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back. Unbelievable. Democrat Party attacking Donald Trump for acknowledging the death of the 13 at Abbey Gate with a wreath-laying ceremony at Arlington. They're claiming that a member of the Trump campaign attacked somebody at Arlington who tried to keep them from photographing the situation. That's only something families can do privately. The problem is he was with a family of one of the 13 Abbey Gate victims. So these families, look, as I often explain, when you become a statistic, when you die because of one of the left's policies, you become an embarrassment to the party and thus must be canceled. You have to go away. And if laughing at you isn't enough, as the left did at the rape victims of the illegal immigrants, mocking you, laughing at you, if that doesn't do it, they will cancel you. They will take out you and anyone associated with you because you've become a problem. So, incredibly, because the Afghan withdrawal decision was so horrific, so bad, and so wrong, Biden administration has had to avoid the families of the 13 killed. And so they've gaffed them off completely. So third anniversary rolls around earlier this week. One of the families invites Trump to their celebration of life. Wants him there. Gets blistered. The family and Trump by the media. For using a dead soldier as a campaign prop. Never mind the family invited Trump. And these families have done interviews. These families have done interviews. They blame Biden. They blame Harris. And they haven't heard a thing from Biden or from Harris. Not a phone call. Not a letter. Nothing. And that's what happened. That's what happened. You do not get acknowledged in any way when you embarrass the party by dying from one of their policies. So Biden and Harris, Biden's on vacation. He doesn't care. Harris had nothing on her schedule to commemorate this third anniversary disaster. So Biden and Harris sent out John Kirby to explain why they gaffed off the families of the 13 while Trump was laying a wreath in memorial, you know, for their sacrifice. And he said, well, you know, we gaffed him off because, you know, there's nothing to make him feel better anyway. Well, acknowledging their loss has a funny way of giving comfort to people. Take a listen to this. This is insane.
Trump attended the wreath-laying ceremony yesterday, but President Biden and VP Harris did not go to any commemoration ceremonies. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby faced questions about that yesterday.
Neither going to Arlington nor any individual paper statement is ever going to be enough to repay these families and to try to make sure that they know they're supported and that they're loved and they're respected and admired for what they're going through. And nothing's going to assuage their grief. Nothing we can say, nothing we can do, no flowers you can lay is going to take that pain away.
Family members of those 13 service members say the Biden administration has never reached out to them in the 3 years since the Kabul bombing.
So, yeah, we gaffed him off because, you know, poor Kirby. He doesn't get paid enough to do this. Yeah, well, because, you know, Biden's on vacation. Kamala can't be bothered. You know, she doesn't do unscripted public appearances. And, you know, we just didn't call. We didn't write. Didn't email. Because they don't really want to hear from us anyway. Well, they kind of do. They're all over the media for the third year in a row. Saying it just doesn't seem like you care. Remember how Biden handled this when the bodies came off the plane on the tarmac? Checking his watch again and again and again. That's the only reaction from Biden these families have ever gotten. Can you imagine losing your child? Losing your brother? Losing your sister? And that's what you get from the administration? The rage? I don't know how I'd handle it. I really don't. You've become an embarrassment and you need to go away. And you know what? The brother of one of them, one of the 13 who died, couldn't handle it, couldn't handle the rage. He laid himself down on his brother's grave and shot himself, killed himself. That mom lost two boys. Couldn't take the hate, couldn't take the rage. I understand it. You make the ultimate sacrifice and the commander-in-chief can't be bothered. He's on vacation. She can't be bothered. And now you got to watch. Think about this. Now you got to watch this. This is a top 10 story in the country. Democrat media, liberal media is coming after Donald Trump for participating in the Arlington National Cemetery wreath lay, for acknowledging these families' loss when the Democrats won't do it. The Trump campaign insists it was granted access to have a photographer at the ceremony for Monday's event. But Arlington Cemetery staff are saying, no, no, we didn't grant them that. And there was some kind of scuffle altercation when they tried to come in and take the photographs. So what is going on here? You could read the story in Axios. Report filed on Trump Arlington National Cemetery incident. They're saying it was an assault, kind of a scuffle between the staff and the Trump folks, who were, again, there with the families, who, according to Biden and Harris and the Democrats, should be canceled. So Trump is wrong for not ignoring these families, as Biden and Harris have. That's their position. Trump should have never gone to Arlington. He never should have acknowledged the loss of these families. Okay. New bombshell video out of Nancy Pelosi when she was Speaker of the House, January 6th, recorded by her daughter. You're thinking, yeah, I heard that story a few months ago. No, this is new video that just came out last night. And it's Nancy Pelosi, and she's running through the halls at Capitol, admitting she is at fault for not securing the Capitol, the Capitol grounds. It's never before seen footage. And again, her daughter, who's a filmmaker, is filming her. She does that quite often. And I'd play you the video. It's up on my Twitter feed if you want to see it. It's because it's in those Capitol hallways and there's so much noise, it doesn't translate very well for radio, but you can watch it. I encourage you to watch it. She says, "We're calling the National Guard right now. They should have been here to start out." Well, because it's the Capitol ground, guess whose responsibility it is to do that? It is not Trump's. It's the Speaker's. She was the Speaker. She says, quote, she seems very upset. She says, "We have totally failed. We need to take some responsibility for not moving to secure the Capitol. Why are we calling the National Guard now? They should have been here to start out." Yet she would later spend more than $20 million on the January 6th committee in order to blame Trump for this. So, unbelievable. By the way, Jack Smith, overnight, the federal persecutor, refiling those indictments against Donald Trump again. It's never going to end, folks. You know, Trump's at the point right now, he better stick to that teleprompter. No more gaffes. This is a close race, because if he doesn't win, he's going to prison for the rest of his life for the crime of challenging that. Think about this. If he doesn't win this race, we're never going to see him again. Because this has been refiled. Jack Smith's appealing the judge's decision to dismiss the classified documents case, even though the Department of Justice admits Joe Biden did something worse. Not coming after him, though. Donald Trump's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. And do you know who will be his only protection? Think about this, from getting shanked. Secret Service. He ain't gonna make it long, folks. He's not gonna be long for this world, one way or another. Because can you imagine? It's terrifying. Every day we get more and more information out of these hearings. We see how the Secret Service deliberately set Trump up. He will be their ward. They will have absolute control over every moment of every day of his life. Or he wins this election, one of the two. That's it. That's where he is. That's his choice. Meanwhile, more and more questions overnight about what happened in Butler County, and the answers don't make sense. Butler County Regional Sniper Ben Schieffer accused the FBI of tampering with evidence, which, by the way, they also did in the classified documents case. Take a listen to this exchange from the hearing they had.
"Do you also find it odd that no ballistics, no toxicology report, no confidence in the actual, proof of who it was who took the shot has been provided to date? And also how quickly the crime scene at the home was actually released before any evidence had been obtained and released?"
"I absolutely find that to be troubling."
Again, that's Ben Schieffer, the man whose existence the FBI and the head of the Secret Service tried to hide. when they went before Congress under oath and gave Congress a false timeline. That Thomas Crooks had been stopped with a bullet fired by a Secret Service sniper. That's not what happened. Not even close. In fact, they edited the guy you just heard from out of the story. The local sniper who stood in the line of fire, could have been killed himself, fired the first shot, disabled the gun with the shot, and maybe hit Crooks. Nobody knows. Congress can't even see ballistics. We're going to find out what happened. They can't keep this a secret forever. They're trying to keep it till after the election. Why? Because who's ultimately in charge here? Of the Secret Service? Of the FBI? Biden and Harris. They're ultimately in charge here. And this looks worse and worse and worse. Here's Representative Corey Mills. Again, more audio coming out from that hearing. Mills, who is himself a sniper, saying this doesn't add up.
We also had multi-channel detonators and explosive devices that were deemed to be sophisticated devices. What 20-year-old knows sophisticated multi-channel detonating devices? What 20-year-old has no social media presence that's been scrubbed? What 20-year-old has encrypted accounts, three from three different countries, without getting any help? There was help, in my opinion, that has been provided based on what I see, what I'm hearing, and also from confidential information that's coming forward. And that leads me to believe that this is far more than just criminal negligence, that there was more nefarious purposes to this event.
Yeah, he says he wasn't acting alone. Jan Bongino asking a great question too. If the guy doesn't really have a search history, how do you build bombs like that? Without going on the internet? Doesn't make sense. To the common sense, speaking of sense, to the common sense retirement planning text line, 71307. Texture rates, Tara, did I miss something? Has Jack Smith now been congressionally appointed to do this? No. No, it's totally unconstitutional. They have to appoint him before he can prosecute Trump. That is why the classified documents case was dropped. He's just ignoring all that and going forward with more indictments in Democrat-controlled courts. It's unbelievable. You simply cannot make up how the Harris campaign went about finding a media interview for Kamala. As I read this to you, picture her going toe-to-toe with Putin, or she. I just don't see it. I mean, one of the basic things you have to do as a president is when there's a major international incident, you got to come out and talk to the media. The American people are going to want to hear from you at some point. I mean, even Joe Biden does it. What if she's not capable? She doesn't seem to be. Politico's playbook section did an article on what her staff is doing to try to find someone to interview her who won't ask questions that are hard. Here's what Politico, which is a left-wing publication, reports. They've been asking around, talking about her staff, seeking counsel regarding who wouldn't bring up matters, like why she's done a 180-degree turn on everything that was once on her YouGov page. The publication added, they're keeping Tim Walz, talking about the campaign, they're keeping Tim Walz in the stable because the campaign essentially doesn't know what their agenda is or what their policies are, and they don't think he does either. What about Tim, Politico writes, talking about her vice presidential candidate. One of the issues that Harris World is currently working on is how to address how to deploy him. They haven't let him do any interviews either, which is unheard of. Normally, your vice president is your surrogate right after they're appointed. Listen to this. The danger in sending him out to do big solo interviews, Tim Walz, is that he might not have full command of where Harris is on every issue. As someone pointed out to us last night, Harris talks about the opportunity economy, but what if Walz were asked to define it? Would he know how? You know what's unsaid here? You can't. There's no details because they can't provide any. They can't. They can't tell you what they're going to do because what they're going to do is print a bunch of money and make you poor, and you're going to check out at the grocery store and not be able to afford the basics. They can't tell you that. That's the agenda. If you're dumb enough to elect them, you're going to be really, really poor. The election is an IQ test. If you fail, It'll be an indicator that you don't know why you're poor, and they'll print more money. That's their economic plan. She's flip-flopped on so many things, they don't think any mortal human being could get through an interview on it. So they're basically putting feelers out, and they'll give the first interview, since chosen Dana Bash, they'll give the first interview to whoever won't ask any hard questions. New bombshell video out of Nancy Pelosi when she was Speaker of the House, January 6th, recorded by her daughter. You're thinking, yeah, I heard that story a few months ago. No, this is new video that just came out last night. And it's Nancy Pelosi, and she's running through the halls at Capitol, admitting she is at fault for not securing the Capitol grounds. It's never before seen footage. And again, her daughter, who's a filmmaker, is filming her. She does that quite often. And I'd play you the video. It's up on my Twitter feed if you want to see it. Because it's in those Capitol hallways and there's so much noise, it doesn't translate very well for radio, but you can watch it. I encourage you to watch it. She says, "We're calling the National Guard right now. They should have been here to start out." Well, because it's the Capitol ground, guess whose responsibility it is to do that? It is not Trump's. It's the Speaker's. She was the Speaker. She says, quote, she seems very upset. She says, "We have totally failed. We need to take some responsibility for not moving to secure the Capitol. Why are we calling the National Guard now? They should have been here to start out." Yet she would later spend more than $20 million on the January 6th committee in order to blame Trump for this. So, unbelievable. By the way, Jack Smith, overnight, the federal persecutor, refiling those indictments against Donald Trump again. It's never going to end, folks. You know, Trump's at the point right now, he better stick to that teleprompter. No more gaffes. This is a close race, because if he doesn't win, he's going to prison for the rest of his life for the crime of challenging that. Think about this. If he doesn't win this race, we're never going to see him again. Because this has been refiled. Jack Smith's appealing the judge's decision to dismiss the classified documents case, even though the Department of Justice admits Joe Biden did something worse. Not coming after him, though. Donald Trump's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. And do you know who will be his only protection? Think about this, from getting shanked. Secret Service. He ain't gonna make it long, folks. He's not gonna be long for this world, one way or another. Because can you imagine? It's terrifying. Every day we get more and more information out of these hearings. We see how the Secret Service deliberately set Trump up. He will be their ward. They will have absolute control over every moment of every day of his life. Or he wins this election, one of the two. That's it. That's where he is. That's his choice. Meanwhile, more and more questions overnight about what happened in Butler County, and the answers don't make sense. Butler County Regional Sniper Ben Schieffer accused the FBI of tampering with evidence, which, by the way, they also did in the classified documents case. Take a listen to this exchange from the hearing they had.
"Do you also find it odd that no ballistics, no toxicology report, no confidence in the actual, proof of who it was who took the shot has been provided to date? And also how quickly the crime scene at the home was actually released before any evidence had been obtained and released?"
"I absolutely find that to be troubling."
Again, that's Ben Schieffer, the man whose existence the FBI and the head of the Secret Service tried to hide when they went before Congress under oath and gave Congress a false timeline. that Thomas Crooks had been stopped with a bullet fired by a Secret Service sniper. That's not what happened. Not even close. In fact, they edited the guy you just heard from out of the story. The local sniper who stood in the line of fire, could have been killed himself, fired the first shot, disabled the gun with the shot, and maybe hit Crooks. Nobody knows. Congress can't even see ballistics. We're going to find out what happened. They can't keep this a secret forever. They're trying to keep it till after the election. Why? Because who's ultimately in charge here? Of the Secret Service? Of the FBI? Biden and Harris. They're ultimately in charge here. And this looks worse and worse and worse. Here's Representative Corey Mills. Again, more audio coming out from that hearing. Mills, who is himself a sniper, saying this doesn't add up.
We also had multi-channel detonators and explosive devices that were deemed to be sophisticated devices. What 20-year-old knows sophisticated multi-channel detonating devices? What 20-year-old has no social media presence that's been scrubbed? What 20-year-old has encrypted accounts, three from three different countries, without getting any help? There was help, in my opinion, that has been provided based on what I see, what I'm hearing, and also from confidential information that's coming forward. And that leads me to believe that this is far more than just criminal negligence, that there was more nefarious purposes to this event.
Yeah, he says he wasn't acting alone. Jan Bongino asking a great question too. If the guy doesn't really have a search history, how do you build bombs like that? Without going on the internet? Doesn't make sense. To the common sense, speaking of sense, to the common sense retirement planning text line, 71307. Texture rates, Tara, did I miss something? Has Jack Smith now been congressionally appointed to do this? No. No, it's totally unconstitutional. They have to appoint him before he can prosecute Trump. That is why the classified documents case was dropped. He's just ignoring all that and going forward with more indictments in Democrat-controlled courts. It's unbelievable. You simply cannot make up how the Harris campaign went about finding a media interview for Kamala. As I read this to you, picture her going toe-to-toe with Putin, or she. I just don't see it. I mean, one of the basic things you have to do as a president is when there's a major international incident, you got to come out and talk to the media. The American people are going to want to hear from you at some point. I mean, even Joe Biden does it. What if she's not capable? She doesn't seem to be. Politico's playbook section did an article on what her staff is doing to try to find someone to interview her who won't ask questions that are hard. Here's what Politico, which is a left-wing publication, reports. They've been asking around, talking about her staff, seeking counsel regarding who wouldn't bring up matters, like why she's done a 180-degree turn on everything that was once on her YouGov page. The publication added, they're keeping Tim Walz, talking about the campaign, they're keeping Tim Walz in the stable because the campaign essentially doesn't know what their agenda is or what their policies are, and they don't think he does either. What about Tim, Politico writes, talking about her vice presidential candidate. One of the issues that Harris World is currently working on is how to address how to deploy him. They haven't let him do any interviews either, which is unheard of. Normally, your vice president is your surrogate right after they're appointed. Listen to this. The danger in sending him out to do big solo interviews, Tim Walz, is that he might not have full command of where Harris is on every issue. As someone pointed out to us last night, Harris talks about the opportunity economy, but what if Walz were asked to define it? Would he know how? You know what's unsaid here? You can't. There's no details because they can't provide any. They can't. They can't tell you what they're going to do because what they're going to do is print a bunch of money and make you poor, and you're going to check out at the grocery store and not be able to afford the basics. They can't tell you that. That's the agenda. If you're dumb enough to elect them, you're going to be really, really poor. The election is an IQ test. If you fail, it'll be an indicator that you don't know why you're poor and they'll print more money. That's their economic plan. She's flip-flopped on so many things, they don't think any mortal human being could get through an interview on it. So they're basically putting feelers out, and they'll give the first interview, since chosen Dana Bash, they'll give the first interview to whoever won't ask any hard questions. You simply cannot make up how the Harris campaign went about finding a media interview for Kamala. As I read this to you, picture her going toe-to-toe with Putin, or she. I just don't see it. I mean, one of the basic things you have to do as a president is when there's a major international incident, you got to come out and talk to the media. The American people are going to want to hear from you at some point. I mean, even Joe Biden does it. What if she's not capable? She doesn't seem to be. Politico's playbook section did an article on what her staff is doing to try to find someone to interview her who won't ask questions that are hard. Here's what Politico, which is a left-wing publication, reports. They've been asking around, talking about her staff, seeking counsel regarding who wouldn't bring up matters, like why she's done a 180-degree turn on everything that was once on her YouGov page. The publication added, they're keeping Tim Walz, talking about the campaign, they're keeping Tim Walz in the stable because the campaign essentially doesn't know what their agenda is or what their policies are, and they don't think he does either. What about Tim, Politico writes, talking about her vice presidential candidate. One of the issues that Harris World is currently working on is how to address how to deploy him. They haven't let him do any interviews either, which is unheard of. Normally, your vice president is your surrogate right after they're appointed. Listen to this. The danger in sending him out to do big solo interviews, Tim Walz, is that he might not have full command of where Harris is on every issue. As someone pointed out to us last night, Harris talks about the opportunity economy, but what if Walz were asked to define it? Would he know how? You know what's unsaid here? You can't. There's no details because they can't provide any. They can't. They can't tell you what they're going to do because what they're going to do is print a bunch of money and make you poor, and you're going to check out at the grocery store and not be able to afford the basics. They can't tell you that. That's the agenda. If you're dumb enough to elect them, you're going to be really, really poor. The election is an IQ test. If you fail, it'll be an indicator that you don't know why you're poor and they'll print more money. That's their economic plan. She's flip-flopped on so many things, they don't think any mortal human being could get through an interview on it. So they're basically putting feelers out and they'll give the first interview, since chosen Dana Bash, they'll give the first interview to whoever won't ask any hard questions.